Good morning once again. It's the Baltimore Blend. I'm Robert Shaheed here with my partner, Mikhail Hunter, and we are on the Thursday morning jam session with our live in-house guest, Analysis.
All right, and thank you for the phone calls, and you can find Analysis on our Facebook page at the Baltimore Blend. Analysis, tell us a little bit about an initiative that you are involved in. We'll come back to the question later. I know we got to get back to music, but I got to ask the question. It's a nonprofit organization, and it's called Do More Baltimore. Briefly, can you tell us about that?
A few years ago, a local brother named Devlin Waddell looked at the situation in terms of our young people and was looking for ways in which they could be developed in terms of their sense of community awareness and engagement in activism. He and Kenneth Morrison, Wernsdorfer, and some others began a program called Do More Baltimore. And so what we do, and I'm privileged to be associated with it, through its board of directors, but the object is to engage young people through the poetic arts and develop not only their poetry talents and writing talents, but a sense of community activism and engagement and awareness and how those two things work together. And so we have various programs such as the Baltimore Youth Poet Laureate, the Louder Than a Bomb competition, which is a competition for middle and high school and college students, poetry slam. Louder Than a Bomb.
Yeah, you have to explain that one. Such an interesting title.
Louder Than a Bomb, because poetry impacts, poetry speaks. You hear many poets talk about poetry saves lives, and they're speaking literally, not just figuratively. And so it's a very powerful art form, and it can indeed, when we use it right, be louder than a bomb, which is how that was named after. Various other programs, high school teams and competitions and a variety of programs. Do More Baltimore. That's actually spelled D-E-W, More Baltimore. So
okay, yes. All right, wonderful. And we'll talk about some of the events that you've done at Red Emma's as well with Do More Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We'll be sharing more with our Thursday morning guest, Analysis, his poetry, it all coming up. Right now we're going to get back into the music from Joe Locke. He's got that Isley Brothers classic, For the Love of You.
Good morning, Baltimore and the world, wherever you are listening. I am the poet named Analysis. I'm here with Mikhail Hunter and Robert Shaheed on a sip that you must take some of every morning. It's called the Baltimore Blend. It can only be found at 88.9 FM, WEAA, online at WEAA.org. This is where you need to be every weekday morning.
Seven:47 in the morning on the Baltimore Blend. You're in the Thursday morning jam session right here on 88.9 FM. I'm Robert Shaheed here with my partner, Mikhail Hunter. And we have live in the studio one of the best of the poets in the area. I'm talking about Analysis. He's been taking care of business, sharing his community involvement and all of the things that he does. And we've got him with us right now. Analysis, man, you're all over Baltimore and everywhere else.
It's fun to be so. It's enjoyable just, you know, looking at what the scene is in Baltimore and in other areas and similarities and differences. But, I mean, it's an energizing thing.
It certainly must be. Is there any particular venues or places that we can go to and hear you recite your poetry? It's just just so excellent. You know, it's socially conscious, it's motivating, it's informative, it's all of the things that you want from.
I appreciate that. That's high honor indeed. There are a plethora of great poetry places and spoken word venues in the Baltimore, Washington area, so that's a good thing for all of us and all of our listeners. I should say first that I host a venue, a quarterly venue. It's called Red Emma's Mother Earth Poetry Vibe. Red Emma's Mother Earth Poetry Vibe. It takes place at Red Emma's Bookstore Coffee House, which is 30 West North Avenue, right on the corner of North and Maryland. It's a quarterly venue, so we go the first Saturdays of August, November, February, and May. So the next one is August the 6th. I hope everybody marks the calendar for that.
Looking forward to that. Maybe we'll have you back in to remind us.
That would be great. Plenty of good things. You know, if folk can get in contact with me, I can tell you about all kinds of other venues and an adventure that I'm a part of called Simply Poetic Entertainment, which is headed up by a poet named Simply Sherry, an excellent poet and dear friend. And we don't even have time to talk about all of the venues and everything going on. I could list 10 more. So, you know, stay in contact with me, and I will make sure that everybody in your listening audience gets to some poetry, because friends don't let friends go without poetry.
There you go. I can appreciate that.
It is such an intimate form of the art, and I certainly do love it and enjoy it, and especially going to the eclectic venues around Baltimore. I know you've written and published a book.
It's a small little, what we call, chapbook. It might be an unfamiliar phrase to many, but a chapbook is really just a little small collection of poems, not even with the high, you know, formatting of a full book or a full collection. Just a few things that I wanted to be able to put in people's hands. It's a collection of 8 justice, mm-hmm. human rights oriented pieces, and that is what I have in hand now. There are some projects coming down the road, an album project that is being begun. I couldn't even give you a date on that, but be in the lookout for that and a further book project coming down the road. So, you know, I've been into poetry, as I mentioned earlier, for about 7 years, and I'm still on the front end in terms of really taking it to that next professional level of more product in hand.
Okay.
You know.
I know you mentioned that in this particular chat book that there's some stuff with social justice. So please tell me about how the uprising of Baltimore affected you or probably redirected some of your words.
Well, looking at police violence generally and police brutality generally obviously has an impact on everybody. My family was a victim of police brutality. My nephew was tasered to death by a deputy in Frederick, Maryland. In 2007, thank you. And I was not writing poetry at the time, but when I did begin to write, that topic became one of my first pieces, as you might imagine. So I do have something called Poem for Jarrell, in which I process that out. And so the uprising just brings back that feeling, that energy.
Okay.
Would you like to share something with us right now, some of that poetry?
Well, I tell you what, I'll share just a bit of Poem for Jarrell. I won't get into the whole thing right now, but I will share pieces of it, and I am concentrating now because I'm making sure I'm editing it for our listening audience.
Thank
because
you.
As
that.
You imagine,
we are family-oriented radio station.
It is a subject that it'll make you curse, without question, to make it.
Yes, absolutely.
Understand, man. Here's at least a bit of it. My hands are down. My hands are down. That's what I heard he said before the metal darts bore into him, before all that current tore in through him. 50,000 volts, not once, but twice, causing a schism in his neural and cardiac system. Let's do the division. 100,000 by 20 years of a young black man's life. That would be 5,000 units of hate for each year he had to live with the stress and strife of being a young African in a society full of banality and police brutality, a society of racial profiling, subtly smiling, thinking in its collective head, oh well, just another N-word dead. Cops copped a life of color. A cat got capped by even cops of color who copped out and got co-opted into a corrupt conformity that consigns our kind to some crazy contumely, creating a contempt that ramps up amps to stamp out our community and watts to swat our attempt to live humanly. Yeah, I know that darn goose made him kind of loose, but that was no justification for an electronic noose. They made it seem like he was in a threatening position, but that's another law enforcement fiction, because eyewitnesses made statements to the contrary. But what I witness too often from the constabulary is a lack of emotional fitness to be carrying weaponry and a dangerous disposition to be the adversary. And so he was tasered. You know, that electronic control device that's gotten out of control and is now the vice of choice for many an out-of-control control freak. That non-lethal weapon which seems to have been surprisingly lethal for the more than 300 people whose lives it's leaked. And so that's a piece of, as I say, something called Poem for Jarrell. And I go on to kind of process out the relationship between my sister and I and how this has made us closer. And unfortunately, it takes sometimes some tragedy to bring family members back and looking at our society. So
we'll be sharing more of the poetry of analysis on the Baltimore Blend on the Thursday Morning Jam Session. Stay with us.
My pain? Nah, all you can see is the application with that Muslim name. See, I'm a player. I try to turn books on the next page, giving me a piece of knowledge that can take me to the next stage. My mind is like atmospheres, different level before I can get to space, or that space that can put me in my place. See, I'm reaching so I can soon walk at a genius pace. I am 50 years ahead of my time, to the point that when my grandma...
Promoting the preservation and forward progression of jazz, music, and culture, Public Radio 88.9, EAA FM and HD1, Baltimore.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. President Barack Obama says world leaders are, quote, rattled by Donald Trump, the de facto Republican presidential nominee.
You hear me over here breathing and listening to Analysis and Robert Shaheed talk back and forth about music and poetry. I am so into the arts. Be sure to check us out on our Facebook page at the Baltimore Blend. You can get all of Analysis' contact information, and you can pick up his chat book, Analysis, as well. 69, mostly sunny today, high around 87. Here's another look at Baltimore Beltway traffic with Chris.
And it is 8:05 in the morning on the Baltimore Blend, and we have a chance now to check in again with Kurt Kroenke. He's over at MTA's Buses and Trains, ready to share with us whether or not there's any changes in the schedule so you can get to work on time. Hey, Kurt, how's it look, my friend? And if you're just waking up with us, this is the Baltimore Blend at 8:06 in the morning. I'm Robert Shaheed, along with my partner, Mikhail Hunter, and this is the Thursday Morning Jam Session. Live in the studio with us is Analysis. We'll be sharing more of his excellent poetry, a little bit more of his experiences that helped him create such excellent poetry. But we're also celebrating today the birthday of Miles Davis. I have to ask our Thursday morning guest, is there any particular Miles Davis tune you like?
Yes, there is. Kinda Blue is one of the great albums of all time, and one of my favorite jazz cuts is So What.
So What, huh? In the morning right here on the Baltimore Blend, celebrating the birthday of Miles Dewey Davis. Recorded live at Carnegie Hall, that was So What. And we are live in the studio for the Thursday Morning Jam Session with the great poet and social conscious mentor, Analysis.
Yes, again, we are glad to have you with us. I know there are a couple of questions I have about your classic mentors or influences, and we'll ask you that. But sometimes when you're in the arts, your family is very supportive and, you know, they're proud of you. And sometimes, you know, you take from your family to develop your passion. Have you experienced any of that at this point yet?
And
other than what was negative with the police tasing of a relative?
Well, certainly, I think the whole family upbringing is foundational to everything that I've done in terms of being an educator, in terms of being a minister, in terms of the development of the arts, even though that is the piece that perhaps many of the family members are least familiar with, actually, because that's the new thing. And of course, it's a challenging thing. He's this middle-aged guy and all of a sudden wants to be, you know, a performing artist and that type of thing. But the family upbringing, just in terms of what values are instilled, is something that you can draw from. And, of course, as we all know, many artists go back and draw from.
Okay. And what have you drawn from with family experiences or inspired by a particular relative or family member?
Well, there are a set of things that have been guides and things you can spiritually go back to. I actually have a piece that is about my great-grandmother because I was fortunate enough to live many years while she was still alive.
Okay.
And that's something I'd like to share.
Please.
Great. Her name was Alice Louise Miller Burnett Rogers Prince. But I just called her Nan. And it would be a long time before I'd understand how privileged I am to have grown into adult years with my great-grandmother at hand. And even through adult tears I shed at missing her, I know I stand better prepared to face adult fears by remembering how she held my hand. Long hair, beautifully black in its grayness, and features that testified to the mix of Vocabulon and Turtle Island that our heritage wove into her. This always intrigued me. Always resonated in me, such that my alliance in later years with the indigenous fam came as naturally to me as the escape routes our people ran to native lands. Born in the last year of the 19th, not far removed from slavery's maze, I was amazed. I'd say, Nan, you were born in the olden days, and she'd just pat me on the arm and laugh at how tickled I got at things. Guess I'm not far removed from things myself. I found myself in loving awe at being in the presence of living history, feeling connected to the ancestors in ways I could not fully understand, and yet my spirit embraced this mystery. Moved from Brooklyn to Baltimore so her teen mother-granddaughter could continue to be more and proceed with her higher learning while her daughter did the earning and she helped take care of the child. All the while, during these formative times, I was surrounded by three generations, wrapping me like warm blankets, layering love and lessons on me I so often find lamentably lacking in youth and little ones today. I'd go down home with her to North Carolina, or ride the train to Kentucky. Didn't know how lucky I was that my world was more than just the hood, and thus my world was more of what it should be, letting a young black kid know that he, indeed, could be. Laying on her bed and playing with toys as she rocked in her chair and listened to the stories. Listening to her was to be lifted back in time to that little one-room schoolhouse where she taught reading, writing, and arithmetic, making sure something would stick in the heads of black children as she helped raise the village around her, as well as make sure her own family would rise. My eyes filled with wonder at stories of a farm horse named Dapper Dan. They filled with sorrow when she spoke of a son who drowned as a young man. I can remember the sadness in her voice when she said, "It's not right that a mother should outlive her child." I look at old photos which are new to me each time. I travel time and see her beauty, accompanied by a stern look that used to stir my curiosity. I think, how could this possibly be? How can this hardened one be the sweet Nan that helped raise me, that recited psalms, listened to me read gospel stories, let me draw? Let me help cook, then took over as I looked, fascinated that the pop of the hot grease didn't bother her at all. Took me to the park. Watched me dance around the room acting crazy like the people on TV. Made snow cones with me. Fixed me tea. Made sure I was safe as could be, and so I'd wonder what's wrong with this picture. Until I realized that nothing was wrong with this picture. realized she had to be a strong fixture for her family while enduring the poisonous mixture of classism, racism, and sexism all prevalent in society. That solemn strength was the sobriety needed to get her family through a world drunk with the lynching of black bodies and souls. Her soul's devotion gave her kinfolk the substance of hope and fostered a faith that was seen and felt in a love evidenced and experienced by all around it. I'm actually astounded that a black woman could survive nearly a century of this sick, so-called civilization and still be as sane and kind and caring as she was, even while scrubbing too many white women's floors, walking through too many black back doors, working so that doors would be opened for her children. Precious progeny, brought forth with a man named John Henry Rogers, a man I am decades removed from ever having known, yet ever shall I intone his name with quiet reverence for the great and grandfather he must have been. My child's mind would intertwine him and the folk legend by the similar name. Indeed, they would both hammer out a life for their family, because Al John Henry also worked hard until his death of TB, a poor man's disease that robbed Alice of her beloved after too few seasons. Yet she continued to be strong for her family, and thus her family became strong. Their birthstones embedded in her ring, she cherished her children and kept them ever in her thoughts and prayers. She was the matriarch who guided the arc of her heirs, and throughout my years I was surrounded by pillars of love. My soul stands tall as I call their names like the tribes of Israel. Always this story I'll tell, for they will always be my chosen generation. With pride I say them, summoning ancestral strength as I sound their names. John Henry Jr., Allison Ephraim, James Thaddeus, Edna Louise, Lillian Lucille, George Franklin. Together they forged a rank in which I always had elders to look up to. I always said I would sit them down, write their bios. Funny how you wake up one day and they're gone, your holy historical task having been procrastinated on one lifetime too long. And that is something I shall eternally regret. Yet let me not regress into stagnant self-pity. Let me and the others teach the young ones on how they're part of a lineage proud. Let's share stories and glories and remembrances aloud as Nan would have us do. This legacy is our leverage to live, and so let me live out the lessons learned and use the leverage and the wisdom earned to overcome the mind's and soul's illness. I can have no excuses, because I have no lack of example from which to sample strength of spirit, inspirited by their encouragement and nurtured by one who exuded faith unwavering, kindness unfailing. When I feel myself ailing, I can hear her voice singing, and the verses of my years with her come back to me like a trusted hymn. She'll always be there, as she was in my grandmother's time, and in my mother's, and in mine, and will be in times to come. Like the African valleys she so loved, she was royal grace and black beauty in the form of an ever-present peaceful presence, and she is present with me. Yea, I'm convinced that nothing can separate me from the love of that God-sent soul who helped define my very life. So even in the midst of the strife, I can still myself and still feel myself comforted by my great-grandmother's hand. Her name was Alice Louise Miller Burnett Rogers Prince, but I just called her Nan.
Your feet won't leave the ground. You know, comets and shooting stars carrying on down way.
It is 8:30 in the morning on the Baltimore Blend. You have been with us on this Thursday morning jam session. Poet Analysis has been sharing some very, very deep, heartfelt, and meaningful poetry with us. We've got more of him coming up in the next half hour, and we'll be sharing it with you right here on the Baltimore Blend.
Absolutely. And be sure to check out our Facebook page, like us, and check out the contact information and conversation about Analysis. Later on today, you'll be able to hear the podcast of the program if you missed any of it at weaa.org. But let's go ahead and take a final look already, Robert, at traffic. I can't believe it's 8:30 already.
Time moving by, isn't it?
Baltimore Beltway traffic. Yes, it is. And here's Chris.
It's the Baltimore Blend Thursday morning jam session. We enjoy being with you. We've got more to share with you from our guest. We'll be sharing some more of his great poetry and more. Analysis is here with us. First, we're going to get back into a little music coming to you from War. A little thing about the Cisco Kid. Thursday 8:37 in the morning. You're live with us on the Thursday morning jam session on the Baltimore Blend. I'm Robert Shaheed here with my partner, Mikhail Hunter, and live in the studio with us is the poet himself, Analysis. He's been sharing some excellent poetry, some very meaningful work, and some very serious commentary. We're going to be joining him right now again.
That's right. We love to bring you different aspects of the arts, and with Analysis, we're doing just that. Question to you, Analysis, are there any classic poets that have influenced or inspired your passion?
This being a new passion over recent years is allowing me to go back and revisit some of those classic folks. So when you think of people like Paul Laurence Dunbar and revisiting his classic piece, We Wear the Mask, I can gain a new appreciation of it now being in the art form. When you go back to, for instance, Langston Hughes, Let America Be America Again. And he goes on to say, America never was America to me. See, I have a better understanding of that. And we were talking earlier about the uprising and things going on. You know, you go back to some of these classic poems and they might as well have been written 2 hours ago in terms of what they speak to and how they speak to us.
Very little has changed.
Very little has changed. So I'm able to revisit some of those folk, that Jane Cortez, who just recently passed away within the past few years and so forth and so on. But I tell you, my contemporaries, my fellow spoken word artists on the scene are very much encouragement and inspirations to me. And if I were to name one, I could name 20. So I won't even start with that. But there's so many fantastic poets on the scene that I mean, it's there for people to take advantage of and listen to and be encouraged by, and hopefully for folk to do some writing on themselves. So you don't even have to go all the way back to the classic masters.
Right.
You can go to the venue.
It's a great pool of talent in the Baltimore metro area. So, you know, speaking to a lot of people and trying to feel the spirit of a man as I sit next to you and listen to your spoken word, what is the romantic side of a poet like yourself, a man that has deep thought?
I think that there may be a bit of a stereotype that those who are involved in justice and human rights and focused on that, certainly there's still a stereotype of those who are in any way attached or involved with ministry, so forth and so on, don't have all of the, I'll call them, gifts that the Creator has given us, including matters of the heart, mind, and body. I'll let your listeners interpret that.
Can we hear a little bit of the gift of mind, spirit, and body?
Yes, I would love to do something like that. This is a piece I think you'll enjoy. It's called, well, I'll let you hear what it's called because the title's in the first line of the poem. Laura dreams of locks, and I dream of Laura. Locked onto her aura, I am guided to her spirit like stars leading me through the rift valley. In my mind, there's no rift, and yea, though I walk through the valley of missing her, I fear not, for I sense her as I breathe in her strawberry-scented hugs brought hither to me on highland breezes. She is my Queen of Scots, The very thought of her makes me merry, and in this scene, lots of smiles because she shares her cheery disposition even when times are tough. Clearly, my position is that I can't get enough of her, for she holds my interest in rapt attention like ancient Hibernian lore harnessing my heart's imagination. Laura dreams of locks, a natural new adventure for her already enticing natural curls, which naturally entice me to curl her into me as we lay peacefully on a Linlithgow hill, lapped by a Lamu sun. Still. Sweetly surreal, yet still so real that it reels my soul across the waters as if summoned to an intimate diasporic dinner for two. And so she has me wanting to go north, see her for the first time. Again, Atlantic indicates not the distance between us as much as the depths of my passions for her. Thus, my passions traverse the depths that I might tear down Hadrian's wall just so I could be with her. Let her run my fingers through her dark sienna tresses as she nestles into me, safe from the mad world. Unlike many in this mad world, she's not locked into some train of thought in which she thinks her wonderful train of twirls is for naught or ought be forgot. She is not bought into the lie that says her beauty is determined by others. Rather, she longs to explore the range of richness in her divine diversity and divine new verses for her radiance to sing. And like the winsome song of the pipes wailing over Endorama beats, I hang on every note, trembling at all at the treble of her loveliness. I want to be the bass on which she clefs, the orchestral accompaniment to the desires of her dreams, so let the cacophony of the world be left locked out as we lock onto the peaceful rhythm of our breath. She allures me a lot with the lure that does lock my gaze, and for days I am locked in a daze. Together we're tethered, locked deeply in phase, so sensually in sync that I have but to think of her. For mere seconds and time and space suspend themselves as I dream of me and her, our bodies braided like twist, locked together as we lay by the lock, lost in the mist as we're lost in the midst of each other. No other cares could concern us as she coils herself around me, her legs locked about my lumbar as I lunge far into the thrill of her thrill. She thrills as I lower myself into her lowlands and lips lock on lips. Tongue sinks between hips, harboring me like the Firth of Forth. I feel her first through Forth. She's in mirth, of course. In moans, she reports as she sails these waves in sail, then rides my rise once more, rising in a rapture that captures for her every splendid sensation she so deserves. She deserves this. As more than earn respite from the daily fight, her brave heart wages for what's just and what's right. She can take flight in me to faraway places, soft massages and warm, safe spaces. There will be no traces of the tensions that hound her. Burdens will be thrown off like stones as I surround her with equatorial affection. I've no intention of cornering her in any contrived confinement. Her lust for life and love of living it are too large to let anyone lock her into binding boxes or staid stupidity. I respect her sovereign sexiness and honor her independence, even as I interlock with her inner energies in such a way that I invade not her freedom in some imperial impudence, but instead embrace her in our wide open souls as I invite her into this united kingdom. She's incredible in my sight as her incisive insight incites the ire of the ignorant, putting foolishness on lockdown as she labors for the least of these. Each morn she leaves her lair, resolved to resolve wrongs in whatever way she can, rallied by the empowering roar resounding in her from the encouragement of the ancestors. Her dedication to the struggle is like milk made for the strengthening of God's children, and so she pours of herself selflessly, then returns home to spread love and safety across the savannah. She cannot do any less. She's so strong as she meets life's test, though it's hard sometimes and causes duress. I want to be her escape route from distress, from feeling locked in or feeling oppressed. May she be renewed, Lord, and ever blessed. And may her pillow be my chest. Let her release now, and let her rest, and let her dream. For Laura dreams of locks, but I dream of Laura.
so many things with a smiling face. So in love. Every time we kiss is such a pleasant taste. That's why I know this feeling good and strong. Trying hours, we seem to get along. I want to testify you need so much. So in love, so in love, so in love.
Asinine interjections of anti-immigrant hate create bathos to any expectation of intelligent thought coming from those who, in their own insecurities, denigrate those who cross oceans and cross burning deserts, having been excluded from all that mutual wealth free trade agreements egregiously guaranteed. Greed runs rampant as big bosses make profits while hypocritical descendants of immigrants clamor about an imagined invasion, their ignorance exceedingly ugly. Jokes are played on folks from around the world who anticipated kind and warm welcome to this land of the free. Labor under-rewarded is the order of the day, manipulated by rulers of capital who capitalize off the need of poor folk and refugees to replenish their children's bellies or remit something home to stave off starvation. Prejudice is prescribed through parapets and prohibitive policies. Queries as to how we might best welcome our new neighbors are deflected by restrictionists who reroute public thought with lies of how immigration supposedly steals from our surplus or sacks our social order. Those tainted by tant and tout English only is the only acceptable form of communication and undervalue ethnic studies which would enhance a healthy society. My people, void from your souls all such vitriol against those who arrive. White America is threatened in the minds of the haters, and xenophobic fear is what they will tempt you to. You, however, must remain wise to such lies and permit zero tolerance for hate against the newcomer in this place. Immigration acrostic. That is a piece that, if you saw it, you will notice that it's outlined according to the alphabet, which is what an acrostic poem often does. It'll take the alphabet or it'll take a word and line it out. I wanted to end our wonderful and very enjoyable time together with that, back on a kind of a serious note, especially as a reminder to us, something very important in our state and in our country, this anti-immigrant hate, let it go. We had to work together for the struggle, capital S. Let the hate go. Let's organize for justice. La lucha continua. The struggle continues.
8:53 in the morning on the Baltimore Blend. You have been with us on the Thursday morning jam session. I'm Robert Shaheed with my partner, Mikhail Hunter. We have been sharing the poetry and the expertise of Analysis, the poet Analysis. You've got to tell our audience where they can get you when you're not here with us.
When I'm not having a ball hanging out with you all here, okay. I'm very often at Red Emma's Bookstore Coffee House. That's a good place to find me. There it is where you can find my chapbook, which is called Somewhere Through the Haze. You can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/analysisthepoet. That should come to me. You can email me at krb.justice@yahoo.com. That's KRB as in Brown, .justice@yahoo.com. I would love to hear from you and communicate with you.
You're so wonderful that hummingbirds are gathering at the window, and I am serious about this.
That's amazing.
Just to hear a little bit of analysis.
I played Seals and Crofts hummingbird the other day down at the store. I played hummingbird, so maybe there's synergy in there.
That is my first place meeting analysis that I remember, but as I think about it, we go way, way, way back. It was Red Emma's just recently, a couple of months ago. But thank you so much for being here. We certainly enjoyed you. We can find you at upcoming events. You have anything scheduled?
Please mark August the 6th. That is my next venue, Red Emma's Mother Earth Poetry Vibe, down to Red Emma's Bookstore Coffee House. Also, this Saturday at 7 p.m. in Frederick, Maryland, there's an annual kind of month-long arts festival many of your listeners may be familiar with called Art-O-Matic in Frederick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so Simply Sherry and I will be doing a set there. We call it Simply Analyze This. It'll be a fun family love and things of that nature. That's at 7 p.m. at Art-O-Matic in Frederick. That's, I believe, 115 Church Street this Saturday.
And remember, you can check out the podcast at weaa.org later on today. And go to our Facebook page at The Baltimore Blend to see more on the bio and contact list for analysis. Thank you so very much for being here.
Thank you so very much. I had a ball. Absolutely enjoyed it.
And we certainly have enjoyed it, too. I know our audience has, too. Anybody who want to reach him in the next 5 minutes can give us a call at 410-319-8888. It's been the Baltimore Blend Thursday Morning Jam Session.
Peace to the mind, health to the body. I'm Mikkel Hunter.
I'm Robert Shaheed. Check us out every Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. until 9, right here on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community.
Hello, I'm Big Jim. I'll be here tonight with Blues in the Night from 8 p.m. until midnight, here on your source of cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I want to